We're going to bow together in prayer and look to the Lord to bless our gathering together. Let's all pray. Our God and Father, we bow this evening in thy holy presence, in the open air, at this drive-in service. We do so in the Saviour's name. We thank thee for the one who is at the very centre and heart and core of the gospel. And that gospel that is to be sounded forth is a gospel about the person of thy dear Son. It is not about ourselves. It is not of anything else in this world. It is not of what man has done or accomplished or achieved. But rather, O Lord, it's all to do with the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of God and has always been and who will always ever be the Son of God. But the one who took our nature became man, and he became the God-man. And we praise thee this evening that there is a God-man in the glory, that there is one who lived on this earth and then arose from the dead, ascended, glorified, entering into heaven once again and taking with him our nature. And Lord, we praise thee that at thy right hand this very moment, there is glorified human nature. There is a man in the glory. And we rejoice in that man in the glory, for he is our advocate. He is the one who pleads our cause, who speaks on our behalf, who has presented his blood on our behalf. And, O Lord, we praise thee this evening that in the presentation of that blood, there is atonement that has been made for sin. And we have availed of that atonement. Each one who has come to trust in Jesus Christ and who has known the cleansing power of that precious blood. Lord, we praise thee for the benefits of what it is to be right with God, to have acceptance with thee, to be no longer under condemnation in thy sight, to be those who are cleansed by that blood. For Lord, we thank thee that not only is it justifying blood, but it's cleansing blood. It's cleansed, shed for the cleansing away of our sins. And this evening we come therefore in our Saviour's name, trusting alone in what he has done. Lord, we are not depending at all in anything of ourselves. We disown that entirely. Lord, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is nothing good in any one of us. But there is everything good in the person of Jesus Christ. For he is the perfect one, the sinless one, the one who was without spot and without blemish. In him there was no guile. And, O Lord, we think of that declaration that was made by a number of those who were his enemies and who would love to have found fault with him. And yet they were forced to acknowledge at his death that he was indeed without fault, that he was a righteous man. And Lord, we praise thee that because of his sinlessness, there is a remedy for sin tonight. And we do pray that thou will bless the gospel as it is sounded forth this evening. Bless the singing of it as these hymns are sung. Bless now, Lord, the preaching of it as we read the word of God and ponder it for a little time. We pray, our Father, that thou will bless thy word and speak this day, we pray. And we ask, O Lord, that there might be some individual under the sound of our voices that will come to Jesus Christ, that will be made to consider their latter end. We think of those words way back in the early part of Scripture where it says, oh, that they were wise, that they would consider their latter end. And we pray, Lord, that men and women and young people, boys and girls, would be wise, that they would consider their latter end, consider where they will spend eternity, realize that life is fleeting, and come to Christ while there is time and while there is opportunity, while the Spirit would strive. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will indeed strive this evening in hearts and lives. Speak to us all, we pray. For those who know Christ as Saviour, we pray for a word in season to our heart. Lord, speak to us. Lead us on with thyself. Show us the way in which we are to go. Oh, may we be those who live that obedient Christian life, who follow the Lord fully. Oh, grant that to be the case this very evening. So, Lord, bless us, we pray, meet every need that there is among us. Thou dost know us all, and circumstances, every one of them is known unto thee. And we thank thee we can cast all our care upon thee, for thou dost care for us. Therefore, Lord, meet each one this evening at the point of their need. So grant us thy blessing now, we pray, as we continue on before thee. We ask in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Amen. There's some words of the Lord Jesus in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount that I want to draw to your attention for a moment or two. It's chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel and verse 33, where he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord Jesus has been speaking about all of those other things that are mentioned here in this verse. He's speaking about the very essentials of life. If you go back through the previous number of verses, he's speaking about food and raiment, and those are absolute essentials, having food sufficient to eat and to nourish the body, having clothes to put on. Those are indeed absolute essentials. And yet he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." You see, men and women are seeking souls. Man is always seeking for something. Every individual in the world is seeking after something. Even today, this evening, there's a seeking spirit in every individual. Part of that is because of the fall into sin and the loss of the knowledge of God and the loss of a righteousness before God. And because of the loss that there has been because of the fall, there is now in every individual heart and soul a seeking spirit. And individuals are seeking satisfaction, seeking contentment, seeking fulfillment in life. And they pursue that in various ways, seeking after pleasure or pastimes or possessions or position. There is a seeking spirit that manifests itself in the heart and life of every individual in some way or another. There might be those, and that seeking spirit is all the more obvious and visible, but nevertheless it's there. It's present. If there is life at all in the body, then there is this seeking spirit. But the Lord Jesus here is telling us that we are to seek after something particularly. Because mankind often seeks in the wrong place, seeks for the wrong things, seeks for that which doesn't satisfy. The Bible tells us that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. And many seek after the pleasures of sin, and they think that these will satisfy, but they only satisfy for a little time, and then the bitterness of sin comes, because there's always a bitterness with sin. That's the character of sin. It can be sweet initially, but then there's a bitterness that sets in afterwards with regret and dissatisfaction, discontentment. All of these things are the characteristics of following after the pleasures of sin, because they do not ultimately satisfy. They do not satisfy long term. But rather, the Lord Jesus here is pointing us in the right direction. And for a moment or two this evening, I want just to consider what it is that the Lord Jesus has to say here about seeking. What it is that we are to seek. Here's instruction from the greatest of all teachers. Here's instruction from the one who knows the very best. The Lord Jesus Christ is called wisdom. He's the one who's all-knowing. He's the fount of all wisdom. Therefore, the one who is all-wise is here instructing us and teaching us and directing us what it is that we ought to be seeking for in life. And the first thing that he would have us to seek after is the kingdom of God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So there is a kingdom that we are to seek after. And that immediately suggests to us that there is a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that is in this world. For the Lord Jesus isn't speaking here about a physical kingdom, a political identity, a kingdom that has got physical borders, as the nations of the world and the kingdoms of the world have at any time, and particularly those nations that are ruled by monarchs and are looked upon as a kingdom like our own United Kingdom. No, the Saviour isn't speaking about that type of a kingdom. He's speaking about another kingdom. He's speaking of a kingdom that transcends political boundaries, that transcends the continents of the world. He's speaking about a kingdom that is stretched over the whole world. It's called the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Both of those terms are used interchangeably in the word of God. One of them a little more often in Matthew's gospel than any other. But they're the same, referring to the same thing, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And here the Saviour says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's what we ought to be seeking after. We ought to be seeking a kingdom. Well, if there is a kingdom, there is a king. And the king is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who is described in Scripture as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the greatest of all kings. He's the greatest of all kings in many ways, certainly for longevity. The length of his reign, he's a king forever, the Bible says. No matter how long a monarch may reign, and our own monarch, Queen Elizabeth, has reigned for many years and brought stability even to her own United Kingdom as a result of the length of her reign. But she'll not reign forever. But there is a king who does, and who will, and who shall reign forever, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings in that sense. But when we think about his greatness as to his person, after all, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. No greater person can there be than the Son of God made flesh. The second person of the Trinity. He is the one who is the King of this kingdom. So when we come to think about this statement that he is making himself, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, we're thinking about a kingdom that stretches across the earth. We're thinking about a king who is great, who reigns forever. But you see, the Bible tells us that there's something that is required to enter into this kingdom. Because when this world is finished and come to an end, the kingdom of God is going to continue on. And that's why we ought to be considering, well, how do I enter into this kingdom? How do I indeed seek after this kingdom that I'm instructed here to do in the Word of God? Because when all the other kingdoms of the world will fall and come to an end, and the earth itself, as we know it, will cease to exist, here's a kingdom that's going to continue on forever. And surely we would want to be in that kingdom, the kingdom of God. And yet we are not born into this kingdom. We are not born into this kingdom. We are born outside of this kingdom. We do not have natural citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. That does not belong to us. We are of this world. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, ye are of your father. Ye belong to another kingdom. When he was speaking to those of his day when he was here on earth, they were of another kingdom. They belonged to another kingdom. They served another king. And the very fact, you see, that we are exhorted here to seek after the kingdom of God would suggest to us that by nature we are not in this kingdom at all. And therefore we need to seek after it. It's something that we need to consider. It's something that we need to address and face up to. Seeking after the kingdom of God. Because it is only those who enter into this kingdom on earth who will ever enjoy the blessings of this kingdom in heaven. We must enter into this kingdom here on earth if we're ever going to enjoy the blessings of this kingdom in heaven forever. The Lord tells us that. He's the one, after all, who makes known to us about this kingdom. He's the one who gives us this exhortation to seek the kingdom of God. And therefore, we need to consider carefully what it is that he is saying. And he's telling us down here in this world, you need to seek after the kingdom of God. If we're ever going to be in the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity to come and enjoy all the blessings that belong to that kingdom, then while we live in this world, we need to seek after this kingdom. You see, many people are seeking after the things of time and sense, the things of this world, the things that are common among the kingdoms of this world. That's what individuals are seeking, and maybe there's some soul like that under the sound of this drive-in service. And that's exactly how it is with you this evening. You're seeking after the things of this world. Well, my friend, I trust that the exhortation of the Lord's word will come to your heart today, that you are to seek after the kingdom of God, not to seek this world, and to seek furtherance in this world, whatever and however that may manifest itself in various ways, but that you would realize there is another kingdom far beyond this world that will continue on after this world is gone. I need to think about that kingdom. I trust the Lord would put that thought into your heart, that the Spirit of God would work in your heart today and make you to think about this and to realize that, and that the truth of God's word would fasten onto your heart even this evening, and you would never get away from this truth, and that these words would re-echo in your mind and in your heart day after day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The second thing that the Lord Jesus says here is that we are to seek the righteousness of God. We are to seek the righteousness of God. You see, this brings us a little bit closer to considering, well, how do I enter into this kingdom? When it tells me to seek this kingdom, and it infers, therefore, that I'm not naturally born into this kingdom, that I'm outside this kingdom. So how do I enter into it? How do I seek this kingdom? Well, when we come to consider these words, we're coming to the heart of this matter. Seek ye the righteousness of God. You see, in order to enter into this kingdom, you have to have the righteousness of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, that very religious Jew, that ruler among the Jews, who came to speak to him at night. And the Lord Jesus said to him in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said unto him, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is the need of the new birth. There is the need of the righteousness of God in that new birth to make us members of the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus had his religion. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had his position. He was well respected. It was out of regard for his reputation that he came to seek the Lord Jesus Christ by night. But the Lord Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Lord didn't enter into a lengthy discussion with him at the start. It developed into that as a result of what the Lord Jesus said. But the Lord Jesus didn't start speaking to him about his own life and the position that he had and the years that he had seen and the influence that he had as a teacher among the Jews. The Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And today the message is exactly the same. There is the need of being born again, born into this kingdom. And that's what the Savior is here referring to when he says, seek ye the righteousness of God. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's referring to the righteousness of God here in this verse. We've got to seek the righteousness of God because we need that righteousness as ours. If we are to ever enter into this kingdom, then we need the righteousness of God as our righteousness. You see, there's a righteousness that Jesus Christ has come to provide. He has that wonderful title in the scriptures, Jehovah Sekenu. That's a Hebrew title. But in English, it simply means the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Jesus Christ himself has provided a righteousness. And that's what he's referring to here when he says, seek this kingdom and seek the righteousness of God. Seek my righteousness that I can give. You see, the Bible tells us that there's two types of righteousness. There's a righteousness that people think they have that comes by the works of the law. Paul had that. Paul the Apostle had the righteousness that comes from the works of the law. He thought he was faultless. He thought he was blameless. He thought he was doing everything by his own efforts, and that he was a very good religious individual, obedient to every commandment, and that he thought that because of his obedience, his works, his efforts, that he had a righteousness that would allow him to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, he was convinced he was in that kingdom already. But Paul had to discover that he didn't have a righteousness. Oh, he may have thought he had a righteousness, but he hadn't. And he soon discovered. And there on the Damascus Road, those words of the Lord Jesus to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, what were the pricks? What was it that was pricking Paul's conscience? What was it that was troubling him? Because by that statement, it implies that this wasn't the first time the Lord had spoken to this man. That was a mighty intervention of God in the life of Saul of Tarsus that day on the Damascus Road when he was converted. But the Lord had been speaking to Saul beforehand. And there were the pricks to his conscience that troubled him. And the Lord was troubling him about this very matter, that he thought he had a righteousness, but he didn't. It was worthless. His own righteousness, which came by the works of the law, was worthless in the sight of God. And Paul began to feel that, and he didn't like it. He didn't like that feeling. And that's why the Lord Jesus said to him, Saul, you're kicking against the pricks. I've been pricking your conscience. I've been speaking to you about this righteousness and your need of salvation and your need of the new birth. Paul didn't like, or Saul as he was then called, didn't like what was happening. But it came to a head that day when, there on the Damascus Road, the Lord intervened, opened his blind eyes, brought him to realize that there's another righteousness that is not of works, but is by faith. There's a righteousness that is by faith that the Bible speaks of. This is God's righteousness. And this is how you and I obtain this righteousness, by faith, by coming to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what it is to be born again. That's what it is to have the righteousness of God. It is to believe on Jesus Christ. Wasn't that what Paul told the Philippian jailer those years later when he was in prison with Silas? And evidently they'd been witnessing to that Philippian jailer and to the other prisoners as well. And then there was the earthquake and the doors were flung open. And the jailer thought that everybody was going to escape or had escaped and that he would be held accountable. He would even lose his life. And Paul called out to him and told him to do himself no harm. And that man came in, fell down, it says, before Saul, before Paul and Silas, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What was Paul's answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's how we obtain the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We believe on Jesus Christ, not just in him, not that in that he exists, that he has been in the earth. You can believe in God. You can believe in Jesus Christ,
But how important it is to believe on him. Trust in him. Depend on his righteousness to enter into the kingdom of God. Forsake dependence upon everything else, upon our own righteousness. Oh, how faithful the Lord Jesus Christ is in telling us here what it is that we are to seek after. We're to seek the kingdom of God, and we're also to seek the righteousness of God. And I wonder this evening, do you do that? In your life, are you seeking something else? Or are you seeking after the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God? One final thought. We are to seek after these things before everything else. Do you notice that word first in that statement in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's the first thing that we are to seek after. It's the foremost thing that we are to seek after. Nothing else is to be as important. Nothing else is to take up as much of our time and our thoughts as seeking after these things that the Lord Jesus points out to us. We are to seek first these things over and above everything else, over and above even the necessities of life. I started out by referring to those words that are at the end of this verse. All these other things shall be added unto you. And I said the Lord Jesus was speaking about those other things in the preceding verses. And he was speaking about the very necessities of life. Food and clothing. But then he says, here now, seek ye first. When you think about how important it is that the body has food, how important it is that we have clothing. And yet he says here now, there's something more important than the necessities of life. There's something more important. There's something that is to have a greater priority in our life. There's something that is to come before all of these other things. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how important these things are. Because they have to do with our eternal well-being. They have to do with our soul's well-being. And there's two good reasons why we ought to put them first. They have to do with our eternal well-being. Will it be well with us in eternity? It will only be so if we seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The well-being of the soul. Oh, how important it is to seek after the well-being of the soul. No greater possession do you and I have than our soul. We don't have a greater possession than our soul. It's the greatest possession. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Even if you could gain the whole world. Some people have tried, but nobody has ever gained the whole world. But if it was possible for you to gain the whole world and to lose your own soul, you're nothing profited. You aren't at an advantage then. If you've lost your soul and you've followed the world and pursued the world and you think, oh, I've obtained the world. Whatever it is that you're pursuing, its pleasures and possessions and pastimes, whatever it is that you might be pursuing and you think, I've obtained the world. But if you lose your soul, there's no profit in that. Because your soul is eternal. And it will either live in heaven or hell forever. And why would you pursue that which will take your soul down to hell? What benefit is there than that? What wisdom is there in that? No, the Lord Jesus here tells us that we are to pursue after these things, the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And we are to do it before everything and before anything else. And there is the promise that is given here that the Lord will add on these other things. We'll not lose out.
You know, seeking after the kingdom of God is not second best. It's not second best. It's not somehow being the worse off. That's what the devil would suggest. The devil would whisper in people's ear and tell them, oh, you'll be worse off. Imagine living like a Christian. You'll be worse off. Imagine all the things that you could be pursuing and doing, and you've chosen to live as a Christian. That's a lie from hell itself. There's no loss in following Christ. There's no loss in seeking the kingdom of God and seeking the righteousness of God. No, the promise is here in Matthew 6 and verse 33. All these other things, the necessary things, will be added unto us. The necessary things will be added unto us. That's the promise the Lord gives in his word. We're not going to be worse off when we seek after the kingdom of God. When you put the Lord first in your life, and maybe it may cost you. It may cost you. The Lord Jesus said that it would, and we are not to be surprised when it does. Yes, it may cost us. It may cost us our friends. It may cost us even our reputation among those who thought highly of us beforehand. But in the end, there's no loss. No, the Lord Jesus makes it as a promise. He doesn't promise things that he won't keep. He doesn't promise things that don't come to pass. He says all these other things will be added unto you. The Lord will see to it that the necessities of life are provided for. And if we have food and raiment, as the Bible tells us elsewhere, then we are to be content. That's sufficient. That's all we need in this world is food and clothing. And may we be those who do indeed today seek after the kingdom of God. And if you are not seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and I trust that today you will. You'll begin to do that. And that the Lord will speak to you, challenge you, draw you unto himself this very evening. Oh, come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's the message that we want to send forth. We sang that hymn at the beginning, sound the gospel of grace abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. And that's the message that we want to declare and send across this whole borough of Newton Abbey and further afield than that. And may there be those who will come to know Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word this evening to all of our hearts. And whether we know him as Savior or whether we don't, may we indeed seek after him. Maybe there's someone and you profess to be saved, and yet, if the truth is told, you're not seeking after the kingdom of God the way you should. You're not putting the Lord first in your life the way you should. Maybe there's a word in season to some Christian this evening. Where do you stand in these matters? Is Christ and his kingdom and his righteousness the all-important thing in your life? My life? May that be so. May the Lord bless his word.